you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, June 26, 2020. And Jason, you just said that it's officially phase four now, you know?
I don't know if it's official because everything changes at a moment's notice, but from what I heard, it is.
Yeah, I think a number of restaurants, I got an email yesterday, the Texas Roadhouse is going to have dine-in, and other restaurants are talking about they'll be open or opened with social distancing and such. And, you know, there's kind of some confusion because some states are backtracking and they're not opening. And I would have thought Illinois would have gone that route because it seems like the governor has really been protective of things. So, yeah, well, anyways, thank you, Lord, that we have the ability to continue with our broadcasts uninterrupted, that through the technology, you and I are still over the phone, but thank you, God, that that's available and there's those means. And I have a lot to share about what's going to happen on Monday, but I know today we're going to talk a little about prayer. And let me begin the program with a verse out of Luke chapter 18, and this is called the Parable of the Persistent Widow. But verse 1 specifically states, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." Oh, there's going to be application for all of us. Great verse, and it'll be a great reminder, Jason, as I'm sure you're going to be able to talk a little about that. But I want to point out, we're doing a lot of praying here. The whole staff of Great News Radio, which includes those that many of our listeners are familiar with, along with those in Springfield, and Phil Shepard, our network director, Howard Falk, our engineer, John Swinford, the Springfield station manager, Joey Kroll, many of you are familiar with, and a host of others have been working very hard behind the scenes. And Lord willing, if everything goes right, come Monday morning or midnight, Sunday night, right into Monday at the wee hours, we'll have WGNJ now programmed onto 7 different radio stations. So that signal is going to be going out to our west, into Bloomington, into Springfield, Carlinville, Lincoln, and then WLLM AM. We have an AM station, 1370. That signal carries many, many miles. So that'll cover a big chunk of central Illinois, even into our listenership. So we're excited. That should all come together. We're going to be working a lot from the time I'm off the air now through Sunday night to pull it all together. But you're going to hear Phil Shepard introduced on Monday with a new program called Inspiration. And that'll be from 6 to 7 p.m., a program dedicated to instrumental music, scripture reading, and light devotional thoughts. Phil will do a great job. He's very excited about it. And so there'll be other programs, and I'll talk more about that in the coming days. But Lord willing, it's all going to come together late Sunday night into Monday morning. And we can't wait to see what God's going to do. And we've been working also behind the scenes. Our newsletter is done. Our pastor letter is done. Our listener letter is done. Our 4-page updated program guide is done. And everything other than the envelopes, they arrive in a few hours today. So we'll probably be calling on some volunteers to help assemble this. So we have basically 1,500 listener letters going to the LUJ family of stations, about 800 or 900 Great News Radio listeners. Then we have, I think, about 2,300 churches. Roger Weisgarver has been putting together the churches in the Great News Radio listening area, and there's about, I think, 960 churches in the LUJ family of stations. And so I think I'm going to be hand-signing close to 4,000 to 5,000 letters over the next 4 or 5 days. David Jeremiah is my model. I think when he had his study Bible come out some years ago, he never realized how many people were going to purchase it. And he had told everyone he would hand-sign and do a note or something. And he said he literally had to schedule 6-hour days for months to sign them all. And I think he had over 20,000 or something. So this is far less than that. But I feel it's important to hand sign all these and get them into our listeners' hands. And the front page of the 4-page program guide goes, wow, big letters with an exclamation point. Look what God is doing. And I can't wait to get this into people's hands along with a special letter that talks about what God is doing with this radio ministry. And then we have a special letter to pastors, as we want them to know we as a radio ministry want to serve them and the different means of doing that, holding a special breakfast at some point with a unique speaker coming in, and maybe the possibilities of some interview and airtime. And if they ever would like or enjoy having the Singing Men come or the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, and just ways that we can serve and connect with them. So that'll go out pretty soon. So I might be calling for volunteers either tomorrow, Saturday, or on Monday or Tuesday. We'll see how fast I can sign a few thousand letters. But exciting times, and there's been a lot of prayer going into that. And maybe that'll fit really well with this Luke 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Amen.
Amen. It's in the Bible.
Yes.
The interesting thing, though, is that he tells them this story, and it's not really about prayer. It's about something I think that it has to do with prayer, but prayer is the vehicle and the means for the message that he's trying to share. And so he said, they told him a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose hope. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So the parable begins where he says, he told them a parable, and in your version it says the disciples, so we know he's speaking to disciples, a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose hope. But then we get into the parable, and the parable isn't about prayer. There's nothing in there about prayer. There's nothing in there about how to pray, when to pray, what to pray. It's a parable about an unrighteous judge. And what's interesting is it says in a certain city, so he doesn't name the city, but I have to believe that his listeners went, ooh, I know what city there's an unrighteous judge in. So Jesus doesn't have to point out where this might be happening. People already know. All Jesus needs to do is point out the character flaw or quality of the type of person that he's referring to. And he said there was a judge. Now, what's interesting is for a good Jew, a judge would be somebody who would be an elder. You know, in different parts of the Bible, we see the elders who sit at the gates and they pronounce judgment for the people. But here, this judge says it neither respected God nor respected man. So for a good Jew, this man couldn't be a judge, because the only person who could be a judge would be somebody who loves God with their whole heart, soul, and mind, and who commits and gives themselves to serving the people. You know, that's what Jesus says when he says the greatest commandment in Matthew 22:37-40, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and love your brother as yourself. This guy didn't love God, and he didn't love people. So how could he be a judge? Well, guess what? He was one of the many people who were appointed to be judges by either the Romans or by Herod. And so right away, this judge is an illegitimate judge. He is an unrighteous judge. Right away, when they hear the story, his listeners have to be going, I know who he's talking about. He's talking about Fred. Fred is a horrible judge. He's not even a judge. He doesn't love God. He doesn't love people. And he's only there because Herod appointed him to be there. Now, I'm not picking on Fred if anybody's name is Fred. I just picked that out of the air. But there was a judge that neither feared God nor respected man. So you've got this man who's in this position, and he doesn't love God. And because he doesn't love God, he doesn't reflect any of the characters or qualities that God has, that God uses us to reflect as his ambassadors. He doesn't love people. And so he's not sacrificial. He's not leading in a good way. He's not leading. He's not fulfilling his job as a leader, because the job of leader is to love people and to take care of them. So he's doing neither. And so there's a widow, and a widow would have been the least of these in the city, who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice. So this is a woman who is repeatedly facing injustice. And she keeps coming to this man, this judge, this illegitimate judge who doesn't care about people and doesn't love God. And she keeps saying, are you going to give me justice? Well, we know already there's no way he's going to, because he doesn't love God and he doesn't love people. He's not just. So he's not interested in justice. He's interested in power and personal gain. He's interested in having a position for his own prosperity, not a position so that he can do what is right in the sight of God and man. And so for a while he refused. But after a while he decides that he's going to give her what she wants. And it's interesting because it says that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. The Hebrew word there for beat me down, the words there, is almost like receiving a black eye.
Hmm.
And so he's saying that this woman is making so much noise that she's giving me a black eye in the sight of all the people. She's giving me a black eye in public. And because he's all about his own personal prosperity and position, this is bad for him. So this only bolsters the fact that it's all about him. The moment he's going to do what's right, he's only going to do what's right because it's good for him,
mm-hmm.
not because it's good for her, not because he sees the injustices that she's facing. He's only going to do it because he's going to say, what do I have to gain from this? So the widow keeps coming, and she gives him this black eye in public, and then he does it. And then Jesus doesn't say, and they lived happily ever after. In fact, the story just ends. We don't even know what happens to the widow, what happens to the judge. We don't know any of that because the Lord stops the story, and then he says, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice. So what Jesus says is, he says, listen, there is a righteous judge and there is an unrighteous judge. And he's given us the picture of the unrighteous judge. He's given us that picture. And then he says, now I want to contrast this with a righteous judge. And to the righteous judge, you'll come and you will make your petitions. And because he is just and because he loves you. See, the unrighteous judge was unfair, and there was no personal interest in the widow, and he was only self-interested. But now Jesus contrasts this with God, who is a righteous judge, who is fair, who has a personal vested interest in his people, and who sacrifices himself to bless his people.
Mm-hmm.
We see the greatest sacrifice that God made in sending Jesus Christ, not only to empty him of divinity, to put on humanity, to walk amongst us here and to share this gospel story, but also later to go to the cross and sacrifice himself for the sins of people, past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus is saying, this righteous judge is entirely different. And then Jesus ends it by saying, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So we initially want to say, what is this thing about prayer? Because he started off talking about prayer, that we ought to always pray and not lose heart. But he ends it not talking about, and that's why you ought to pray. He says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?
Hmm.
And what is faith? Faith is the substance of not being able to see, but trusting and knowing and believing in even what you can't see. That's what Hebrews chapter 11 tells us. It's interesting because in the initial verse it says that we ought to always pray. Ought to always pray. The Apostle Paul would say it this way in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Now, we have to do a little work. What is prayer? Prayer is trusting God. Prayer is admitting that you don't have it all worked out, you don't have it all figured out, you don't have the power or the ability to accomplish whatever it is you're facing or whatever it is you're going through, and you are coming to God in admittance that you can't do it and that you desperately need him. Prayer is a conversation with the Almighty that acknowledges that the Almighty is Almighty. And so, when Paul says to pray without ceasing, he's not simply saying talk to God consistently. What he's saying is don't cease depending upon God's power.
Yeah, I like how many times you've said in the past where it forces us to lean into Jesus, like where we're going to be reliant, that kind of having faith, that prayer is leaning, it's giving up, it's putting our arms up and saying, Lord, you have to take over, you know, I can't do it, you know, I can't do it in and of myself, I have to lean into you now.
Exactly. And so the second half of this is we ought to always pray. So we ought to always, always lean into God's power, his provision. And then the rest of this, Jesus says, and not lose heart. Some translations say heart, some translations say hope. Both of them work well for me because it says in Romans, and hope does not disappoint because God has poured his love out through Christ Jesus. Jesus says to Peter in Caesarea Philippi, he says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. Jesus is saying here that you ought to always pray, ought to always rely upon God's power and his provision, because when you don't rely on God's power and his provision, what happens? You lose heart and you lose hope. When you rely on God's power, when you rely on God's provision, you realize that you are relying upon the one who has overcome the world, the one who has poured his love out in Christ Jesus. When you rely upon God's provision and God's power, your faith grows. It doesn't shrink. Mm-hmm. See, this story that Jesus is sharing here is less about prayer and more about perspective. And the perspective being that we need to keep our eyes on God. That no matter what is happening, we need to keep our eyes on the righteous judge, the judge who loves us without, you know, without see. God doesn't stop loving us. Mm-hmm. And so we get this picture of this unrighteous judge and this righteous judge, and it's a vehicle for saying, listen, which one do you want to continually keep your eyes upon? The unrighteous judge? You know, do you trust in man or do you trust in God? And the answer for all of us ought to be that we trust in God. We trust in his provision. We trust in his power. In this season of life right now, we need to desperately lean into God and who he is, that he is sovereign, that God didn't go on vacation and come back and go, oh my gosh, Holy Spirit, I just took a few days off and now there's a coronavirus and riots and there's this and there's that. Oh my gosh, I'm never taking another vacation. You know, God didn't blink and go, oh my gosh, has the church been closed for 90 days?
Yes.
God knew exactly what was going on. He knows exactly what is going on. And right now, what God's people are getting really good at is the same thing that Peter suffered when he got out of the boat, which is looking at the wind and looking at the waves and spending far less time keeping their eyes upon their Savior. Mm-hmm. And when we don't have our eyes upon our Savior, we lose sight of the one who has overcome the world, and we begin to lose heart. We lose sight upon the one whom God has poured his love out in, and we begin to lose hope. That's why Jesus says at the end, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And the question that I have for God's people right now is that if Jesus was to come right now, would he find faith evident in you?
Yeah.
That no matter how the world shakes, you would say, I stand upon the firm ground of Christ. Because the hymn writer says, all other ground is sinking sand. And so we need to have the right perspective. And that perspective is firmly placed upon God, his power, his provision, and we ought to always do that. And prayer is that vehicle where I think right now Christians need to be running to the throne of grace going, Lord, I can't handle it. Because I don't know about anybody. I don't know about you, Mark, but there's not any bit of what's going on right now that I have an answer for, yeah, that I understand, or that I can truly handle.
Yeah.
And I need his grace. I need his provision. I need to lean into his sovereignty, and I need the heart that comes from knowing who ultimately is in control and the hope that comes from trusting in him.
Will he find faith on earth? I think of that example. I think you've given it over the air a couple times. And I can't remember if it was a relative or somebody, a senior saint, but she's in an auditorium or in a theater, and somebody said, hey, didn't you enjoy this or this experience and all this? And she said, you know, if Jesus would return now, I don't know if I would want him to see me in here. Not that it was any kind of adult or a bad viewing, but just that she wanted to be about the Lord's work. And I wonder if the Lord return today, would he hear us griping and complaining and worrying and spending hours talking about COVID-19 or this situation instead of proclaiming his goodness and reaching out to the downtrodden or those that are hurting that need to hear that hope-filled message? Would he find us filled with faith extending that good news message to people or griping and just mirroring what the world is doing.
I agree 100%.
Who was that? Was that a relative, that one example of the lady that said, you know, she was maybe responding to a family member, when the Lord returns, I want to be out and about or active. Did you give that illustration?
That was Francis Chan's grandmother.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a illustration that he used for this very same thing, that, you know, when the Lord comes, where will he find us? But the question isn't just where will he find us physically, but where will he find our heart? Where will he find us investing our time? Where will he find us investing our emotion, investing all that we have in? And we need to be about his work, especially if we believe, if we look around and we go, maybe the time is short. I mean, we don't know when the Lord is coming back. It is imminent, but it is unknown. But in the same token, we know he's going to return. So if we know he's going to return and we look around and we see a lot of broken stuff, we have the means to begin to put some of that back together. It's called the gospel. And we need to begin to share the gospel with people. We need to begin to love them. We need to begin to be this image and picture of his grace, his active grace at work. The world doesn't need more clanging gongs about how broken the system is and how messed up everything is. You know what the world needs? The world needs the message of Jesus Christ.
Jesus, L-U-J, lifting up Jesus. That's what we're about with this radio ministry. In fact, stop by the center later today. We'll have our updated program guide, our newsletter, other materials. We'll be sending them out in the coming days. If you've written us in the last few years, expect to receive that this next week. And we're just thankful that God allows these 19 frequencies to proclaim that good news message, bringing hope and healing to thousands upon thousands of people. Thanks for your support. Thanks for being a part of today's program. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason with Great News Radio, a ministry of the Great News Media Group. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.